Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It goes without saying that you're back for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi.
And I'm Wing, and so happy to be here.
Absolutely delighted to be here. Today we're talking, it is the FOMO episode that we promised, and...
Oh my god, the infamous.
The infamous FOMO episode that we just say, we don't really have FOMO, but we don't do that in this one. We actually go in, we're talking about meaningful relationships, friendships, actually how to not feel like you're the outsider on life and that you're actually included.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have some big news that the Discord is out and about.
Available, yay!
We can all talk, we've got a big group chat now.
Well, by the time you hear this, it'll be out and about, hopefully. But actually, I haven't looked into it at all, I'm not going to lie. So I need to sort that out. But by the time you're hearing this...
But as far as you're concerned...
We'll be in constant stream of communication.
So we'll see you there.
In the giant group chat.
Pause the episode now, go to Discord, go to our Instagram. We'll be probably going on about it. Go there, click on the link, come back to this. And then you can talk, we can talk all about... friends, relationships, and stuff.
And stuff, honestly. Nothing else I'd rather talk about.
And some of, I don't really know, I can't remember. We just spoke about it, I can't remember.
Thank you so much to Harry Styles for featuring in this episode. So excited for him to be our first guest on Goes Without Saying. He'll be here any minute now. Any minute now he'll be here. Stay tuned.
It feels weird because we're recording on a Monday.
On a Monday afternoon.
So the episode has just come out. And I'm kind of still in the mood of, I've just kind of come out as autistic to the whole world. And now it's like, we're getting some messages in being like...
We're getting a lot of messages that end saying, please don't feel like you have to reply to this. And I'm like, oh God, what have I done? Now they all feel like they're bugging us, fuck.
They all think we hate
Fucked
them.
Fucked it.
And I'm suddenly the spokeswoman on something I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So please don't call me brave. I literally don't know what I'm on about.
What the fuck have we done? You know what it is? Every Monday we come, just try something on, see if it fits. We'll try something new next week. It's okay.
Oh, and oh how the shoe fits. The shoes are fitting.
Like a glove.
Cinderella's little glass slipper.
Quite funny. The shoes fit like a glove.
They don't fit.
Kind of just, maybe the gloves fit like a glove.
The shoes fit like a glove.
It's like, why are you putting the shoes on your hands?
Walking around on all fours. So it feels weird because I feel like I'm still in the energy of kind of last week's quite sincere and very honest episode. And suddenly it's like, I'm in quite a manic mood today, but I'm kind of still in the energy. How's your week been, Wing?
I don't really know. You know what? I'm not really thinking in weeks at the moment. I'm kind of just, life is just a blur.
It's taking just... it moment by moment. She's so wholesome living in the moment.
It's just washing right over me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, to update on last week, I'm crossing my T's and dotting my I's.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, yeah. So I'm just powering through, honestly. Feeling all right. I said to my boyfriend the other day, this is how bizarre it is to be in my mind. I said, I just hate myself. An hour later I was like, I have never been killed in a game of fuck, marry, kill.
Oh. Oh no. Yeah.
But like, I mean, you can't see me. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
Right now, who's killed me? I don't see it. Unless now I get like, I'm being put against like fucking Kendall Jenner. Fine, whatever. But realistically, if you've killed me, it was begrudgingly. Like you did want to at least fuck me. 20 minutes later, I hate myself. I just think at least, well, no one really plays it. I guess no one plays it anymore.
I play it. I have a great game called Sex Point.
Sex Point is a good net. It's kind of, I want to play.
It's suddenly, you're playing Sex Point.
Yeah.
It's basically, so I would give you someone, and it's if you're in a coronavirus pandemic with someone, you're in lockdown, it's just you and them in a house together. You don't really leave, it's lockdown times. What is your point in which you have sex? What's your sex point? So for example, if I gave you and Jamie Dornan, it would be about 5 minutes.
If that.
Yeah, honestly, he walks through the door.
I almost don't even want to say it because it's too real. Like, he has a wife and kids. Like, he gets pestered so much. His dad just passed away. Like,
oh God, you know way too much.
I know too much. The problem, we were kind of, I think we said this in a previous episode that didn't, I think we cut this bit out. We were talking about, I'm not going to say who, but it wasn't Jamie Dornan. It was a big celeb. And we were saying, why is it that, like, his wife dying just makes him hotter?
We did cut this out big time.
We cut this because we were kind of making the joke of like, God, that poor, a woman has died.
Yeah.
And it makes a man hotter. Like, what kind of joke is that? It's like, oh my God, he's so sensitive.
And it benefits the man because it gives him some emotional depth.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
What a fucking scam.
We're honestly idiots under this patriarchy. We've all become
dumb.
But it, for example, what would your sex point be with, let me think of someone that's relevant.
Mm.
Why is the only person that's coming to my head Joe Exotic, the least relevant person of all time?
I don't have a sex point with him. I think it's more of a death point.
No, but you're not leaving the house. It would be like 10 years maybe.
Longer. I'm really, because I've been watching the Louis Theroux thing.
I thought it was really boring.
I know, and my boyfriend and I were kind of saying that, like, it's kind of, what is this? What's the point? But the point for us is kind of, it just feels like his voice just cocoons us. Like, it's kind of, the point is, I'll do anything to listen to him speak before bed.
The point is, if he's on my screen, I'm watching.
Absolutely. What's your sex point with Louis Theroux then?
Honestly, sex point, two seconds flat. What about you? What's your sex point with Louis Theroux?
Yeah, 1 second flat.
I knew it'd be fucking... That's the problem with saying two. You still seconds. Have someone that can beat you.
No, I mean, he's married. His first wife died.
Fuck, we've given away who it was.
Spoiler. The reason that didn't go in also is quite a funny reason. This was months ago. That almost went in an episode, and Steffi texted me saying, I have to cut this bit out because it essentially ruins her chances of ever actually getting with him in real life.
If his second wife dives, touch wood
that she doesn't. Look, we don't want this for you. And also, I'm always 100%, I'm on the wife's team, always. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, Jamie Dornan, I'm an Amelia Warner stan. It doesn't matter who you are, Louis Theroux. I'm always here for the wife. It's just a problem that...
It's a patriarchal problem. I think what we were saying was that it's a problem that we're so desperate for some emotional depth in a man.
Yeah.
Their wife, a woman, has to die for them, and it just takes them up a level. It's like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me that we think this.
Yeah. It's like the worst thing possible happens to you and it just makes you hotter.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. So if who's like a hot married woman? Emily Blunt?
Emily Blunt. John Krasinski. Of course, Emily Blunt.
Say John Krasinski dies, RIP.
Oh, God. Touch wood, everyone. Jim.
Doesn't make her hotter, does it? It makes her a widow. Sorry.
Would it make Emily Blunt hotter? No, because the patriarchy then makes her this sad widow.
Well, it's not hot to be a widow. You're Miss Havisham.
Yeah, exactly. And you're kind of expected to never, never look at a man again.
Yeah.
But John Krasinski is getting all of the love at that point.
He's getting all of the love. As we speak, there's someone sending a nude in John Krasinski's DMs, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Wow, that was a pleasant start to the episode.
Shout out to Louis Theroux. I do think I'll marry... My choices are Elon Musk, Louis Theroux, and I had a really other one the other day as well.
Can I say James Acaster?
James Acaster. Yeah. Obvious. Duh.
But again, we're not ruining your chances with him either, because I think that is a very, very viable option.
Oof, don't tempt me.
But okay. The fact that I'm saying it...
I think I'm his type.
No, that's what I'm thinking. I know that it's too real. It's too real.
Yeah. Almost, will this go in? Because I don't want... Elon is like, yeah, I don't really want that. Louis,
no,
I don't really want
that for you.
James... Oh, it's too much.
James, I can't lie. I do want that.
Not gonna lie. You are fit.
You'd be great together.
I know we would. That's the problem. Yeah.
No, look, it's kind of killing me. Let's not. Well, anyway, how are you? Let us know. Send us a message. We'd love to know what's going on with you. Are you on a walk? Are you in the bath? Are you doing some uni work? Where are you? What's going on with you?
Are you playing on your DS? Someone just sent us they were listening to us whilst playing Animal Crossing on their DS. Animal Crossing Wild World, that would be.
So vintage. Was it Wild World?
I assume so. It's a DS. Could be New Leaf.
New Leaf, I was thinking.
Interesting, yeah.
I guess we'll never know. Well,
We can look at the post again.
Yeah. We could just look at it. Okay, today we kind of wanted to talk about, we're kind of struggling to find the in angle on this. We spoke before about how we fucked up the FOMO episode by spending an hour being like, we don't get FOMO, here's why. Not very useful, just kind of felt a bit like, not forced, but we've just got high standards for these episodes, which you probably wouldn't believe for the shit that comes out in them. But anyway, so I guess we're going to have a very authentic chat about, I think this feels authentic to me, is wanting to feel like you have a connection with people. Wanting to feel valued. Right?
Yeah.
As much as you can have all of the self-worth and you can be very self-aware and all of those things, you can love your own company, and God, are we great company, it's a human thing. You do desire to feel a sense of belonging. So let's get into that. Shall we? Shall we do it? Would you care to join us?
Shall we?
We shall.
So when I think about where I am right now with friendships and relationships and feeling like I've got to slot back in somehow, is that I think I've got so used to being alone in some way, or with my specific best friends and my specific family, my closest people to me, that I don't know how I'm going to cope with acquaintances again.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think like the idea of going to a party and there's an acquaintance there, or being in a smoking area. I don't smoke, just going to I'll be standing in a smoking area.
She's always
area.
In that smoke area though.
Might socially smoke. I don't smoke.
It's fine if you do, honestly. We don't care. It's honestly No one came for you. Fine. It's fine.
I'm standing in a smoking area. You have a conversation with some random person. I think I don't know how I'm going to cope with those kind of situations, kind of maintaining your friendships with the people that you're just friends with, like quote unquote friends. You're just friends, it's fine. They're not your best friends. You can live without them. They're just your friends.
Why do you think that is? Can I say why? Oh, no, go.
I just think I'm over it. But what do you think?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is I kind of feel like same. I feel like I've realised, and my boyfriend and I were kind of talking about this, having a big convo about it, I feel like I've got to a point where I've kind of lost my patience.
Yeah, yeah.
With people.
Totally.
Or with, like, trying to save face with people, or trying to, like, keep up appearances.
Trying to explain yourself.
Trying to justify things, exactly. I kind of just feel a bit over it. And I'm also trying to figure out in my head of, like, what's good and what's bad about that.
Yeah, because there are downsides of it.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. It's like, are the downsides worth it?
Well, it's kind of, is the FOMO real? Is it kind of, would you rather be included just so then you're not on your own or whatever?
Yeah.
Did we just say that we spent the whole FOMO episode saying that we don't get FOMO? Well, we spent the whole FOMO episode saying we don't get FOMO, which is why we're revisiting it and kind of trying to make it a bit more worthwhile for everybody. Because we don't get FOMO. But I don't want to be someone that like doesn't really have patience for people. It's not nice. But then also, I don't really have patience for people. It's kind of the classic Twitter thing of it's self-care, it's boundaries. Just like get rid of everybody. Like everyone's fucked. Like everyone's a cunt. You don't need them. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but do you want them around, maybe?
And also, do you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't think in my heart I believe that. Because I think in my kind of, in my daily life, I'm looking around and I can just see a load of cunts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't want to be friends with you. Don't want to hang out with you. Get out of my fucking sight. Don't open your mouth to me. That's kind of what I think when I look around a lot of people. Not everyone, not me, but I do sometimes think, just please. I'm like, wing, shut your mouth. No, never people I'm friends with. This is why I have a very select group of friends almost, because I think most people irritate me. But then when I strip it down, I'm like, what do I actually believe?
Yeah.
Do I believe you've got nothing to say? Or do I just see no worth in talking to you? Which that is just my perspective that I'm kind of pushing it on. It's like, well, you can't teach me anything, so I don't want to talk to you. Or like, I don't like that thing you once said. You voted Tory, so I'm never going to speak to you again, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like, maybe I can learn from you. Maybe I actually can learn from you and I need to be more open. And if someone says that they like fox hunting, maybe I should have a conversation with them. But in my mind, I'm like, don't ever fucking look in my direction again. You can't.
It's, yeah, where do we draw the line with this, like, protect your energy stuff? It's hard. I guess is it just completely situational of, like, if on the day you've got some energy to spare, then feel free, spend it all. But kind of, if you're not in the mood, then fuck off.
Then you're not in the mood.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be much deeper than that, I guess. And is it just kind of the whole discourse and the whole like self-care rhetoric that makes us feel like we have to have a concrete way of living? How do you think your relationships have changed over the pandemic? Because we got a message that I really liked. Someone said, well, I mean, I hate it for them, but like, I really like it. They said they've been feeling left out the entire pandemic, to be honest, and feeling extremely disconnected. And I thought that was interesting. How do you think the pandemic has affected your like relationships and your sense of being connected?
Yeah, I was going to say I hate to be annoying after hearing that message, but I feel the complete opposite. Like, I hate...
Yeah, God. Okay, well, how does it feel to be God's favourite? Flex on us.
But I feel like everything has got smaller. Like, everything's stripped down. Mm. And I have, obviously, much less social interaction. But I almost feel like it realigned my priorities to, rather than it's like, oh my God, but what did that person in that social situation think of me? Or like, oh, but I can maybe like make that person in the smoking area talk to me a bit longer and like me if I just straighten my hair for 2 minutes more, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But actually, I think it stripped things down. It's like I have a much deeper connection with the people that actually mean something to me. And I think it has meant that I've lost people on the way.
Have you?
I feel like I have lost people on the way, but the people that don't mean shit. But like, it's not like I'm losing my key people, but it's almost
left,
like,
right and center. Yeah. It's like, this is the last podcast you'll hear from us.
Yeah, it's like, it's not that. It's like the peripheral people, as my worldview narrows down to what I'm interested in, the people I want to spend my time and energy with, the people that are peripheral just fall away naturally, and not in a bad way. Just, I have no interest in persevering with a lot of people anymore, just for the sake of persevering.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I completely agree with you, as usual. What's new? I was going to say, I feel like during the pandemic, I've been able to shed a lot of the interactions, like the social interactions that just are vapid.
Fucking boring. Yeah.
Yeah, or just like fake, like, I know you don't want to talk to me and I know I don't want to talk to you. So, but yeah, here we are. We're going along with it for some reason.
Awful. Literally the pits.
Yeah, the pits.
The pits.
Honestly, the pits.
Those conversations are the fucking pits.
But I think I'm quite bad because I think I've said this before. I dip out very easily. Like, I, you know how some people, most people, I think, feel the duty of like, no, we should show up, or like, no, we should talk to them, or I should make an effort, I should call them.
Mm.
I think I missed the memo on that. I didn't get the assignment, and I just I'm very absent. I get very absent very easily, which I think has its pros and cons. But I think during the pandemic, and I was going to say to you, do you think you've been able to have stronger connections, or like keep the connections strong that you have now? Is that because your connection with yourself is stronger?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in the early pandemic nostalgic times, good, there was times, a huge emphasis on like staying connected, on we're all in this together, so let's stay connected, let's zoom. And it's kind of like, I actually wouldn't be speaking to you anyway. Like, if I wouldn't be meeting you fucking once a week.
Yeah, this is more than we're speaking anyway.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
So I think that's partly due to those social things, but then I just think my relationship with myself has completely changed over the last year, just completely.
Yeah.
But then weird things like, we haven't seen each other in a year, in over a year now.
Over a year.
But our relationship has never felt deeper.
Stronger.
I had a dream last night. I told Wing this last, well, just now. I had a dream about her last night that we hugged. I don't hug people, by the way.
You'll be hugging me, I tell you now.
We hugged and we were so close. It was skin to skin and we could feel our hearts kind of beating on top of each other.
We were breastfeeding.
It's mental.
A real skin to skin contact moment.
It's like we were breastfeeding each other. It's weird shit like that. It's like, I feel like my relationship with you is insanely deep.
Yeah.
And that's partially only because we both have been doing individual work whilst this thing has been kind of spiraling out of control together.
I agree. I do think in part my relationship with you has probably made my judgment of not necessarily other people, but other relationships more harsh.
Same, yeah.
Just because we have such... We go on and on about how communication is so important. We're not lying. Like,
No.
This is so deep because it's so real. Like, whether or not we come to the podcast with a performance, no matter what, she's crying. But kind of, it's just, there's no room for airs and graces, which is, that's, and I think I just, I have that in life anyway. So when I'm putting out the energy of like no airs and graces, but I'm being met with all of the airs and all of the graces, whatever that means, by the way, no idea.
Honestly, can't move for airs and graces. There's honestly no air in this fucking room.
Yeah, I've lost my patience. I get a bit frustrated when I'm trying to be very real and it's not, the energy is not being matched. I think that frustrates me. Not that I'm perfect, by the way, like I'm kind of the worst, but I'm not here for a fake time.
No, but it's because we're openly the worst.
Well, I've said to you before, there's nothing you could say to me, because there have been times, like, even, like, I won't go into detail, but I remember you being so upset, like, oh my, you were really apologising for something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, there is nothing you could say to me or do, there is nothing you could do that we couldn't talk ourselves out of, get ourselves through. There's just nothing that could happen.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, that we couldn't get through, because I'm committed to the honesty and I'm committed to the relationship, honestly.
And I'm committed to the fuck ups as well. Like, I'm so committed to the fuck ups. And also, I think I don't feel that with so many people. I'm not committed to their fuck ups.
Yeah, yeah, so true.
The amount that you and the people close in my life could fuck up and hurt me is quite scary. How much I would put up with. It's like, God, I mean, there are some people that it's like one fuck up and they're out.
Yeah,
like it's like, no, I actually you're not worth the convo, which is so harsh, because they are worth the convo to so many other people, but just not to me.
But not to you. Not where it matters. Hit my
just not to me.
To me, you're a piece of shit, but I'm sure someone out there really likes you.
Just from my perspective,
I fucking hate your guts.
You're not worth 2 seconds of my fucking time. Also, the conversations we've been having and the conversations you have been having in you, Harry, I'm speaking to you.
With us
in this podcast as well. I think they've moved my marker of what is a good convo so high up the chain that unless people are literally talking about their fucking ancestral trauma and the time that their boyfriend fucking stealthed them and shit, like, I'm not interested in the convo unless it's literally like that. I think now when I talk to someone about
it's unfulfilling
something, I don't know, toxic positivity. So I don't give a shit what your thoughts are. Let me text Wing and see what she thinks.
I mean, yeah, it's so fucking true. I feel like I'm going between the thing I said in the other episode as well. I'm feeling like, oh, you know, you're deserving, which I 100% stand by. You're deserving of good things and amazing people and amazing conversations and strong relationships. You are deserving of that. Then the other part of me is like, is that unrealistic? But it's like, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? You would say it's unrealistic because you think you're undeserving. But like, is it unrealistic to want good things? I don't know.
No. Well, it might not happen, but I don't think it's unrealistic to want good things.
Yeah.
I think you can never get good things, but always be thinking, I do deserve that. It's unfortunate.
God, that's not comforting. Yeah. Unfortunate that I never received everything I deserved.
But I think that's kind of, it's like, you deserve complete happiness in life. I know that won't happen in life because that is unrealistic.
Yeah.
But you know that you're a good person. You inherently deserve that. It's unfortunate, and it's, I'm sorry that life is shit. And realistically, you are going to have to go work in a place you don't want to have to work. And you are going to get your heart broken by some absolute fuck up of a guy. And you are going to be scared walking home from the fucking bus stop at 7 p.m. because the world is shit. But you don't deserve any of that. That shouldn't be happening to you.
Yeah.
You are a good person.
So how do we work with what we're being dealt? Is it completely situational? Or do you have any like rules or red flags or like things that you, do you know what I mean? Do you have any set boundaries that can't be crossed? Or no, you're an open book. You're looking at me with a blank face like, what's a boundary?
No, I'm thinking about my rules.
Okay.
Because you said rules and you know that I have two strong rules I live my life by. They don't actually work in this context at all.
No, they're completely irrelevant. Yeah, go on, spill them anyway. I think we've been through them before. I'm always down to go over them.
Number one rule. Why I was thinking about this is because I was trying not to break my number one rule last night. Number one rule is do not try and solve your problems at night.
Solve your problems at night. What was going on last night? You were trying to have a cuddle with me and you couldn't.
I was just like trying to solve. I just woke up at like 1 a.m. like, right, let's solve some shit here. Let's analyze this life.
I get that. Second rule.
Number two rule is the key rule that
don't fantasize about people you know.
Broken every day.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Every day and every night. Don't get us started on the nights.
Yeah. But those are my rules, but I don't have any boundaries. Do what you fucking want to me. I'm just not allowed to fantasize about you. I'm joking. What about you?
I don't know. I'm figuring it out. I was saying to my boyfriend the other day, I think I'm happy that I've got to a place where I do have a very strong, well, not even a strong, like, self-worth, but I've got some self-worth.
Yeah.
Which is finally great.
I think I have some self-worth.
Some self-worth.
Honestly,
some,
yeah. I think I might have some by now.
Not an abundance.
Can't tell you how much.
But some.
Some.
Yeah, some.
I think there might be some in here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Someone actually sent us a really nice message earlier, really nice, saying, like, you know, we're going to continue to evolve and that means people get left behind and things like that. I guess it's like the age old thing of just like, yeah, as you grow and you change, things get left behind. Like, if you're not going to grow, and also it's kind of, you can't assume that you're going to grow in parallel as well.
Yeah.
But it kind of is that thing of sometimes relationships are completely situationships. They are completely, like, circumstantial.
A situation friendship. I always think this. And I don't think that's bad.
No.
It's only bad when there's an imbalance.
Go on.
There are levels of friendship, and the only way they get hurt, I think, is when you're on different pages.
Mm.
If one of you is thinking, oh, we're best friends, and the other one's thinking, oh, no, I'm friends with you because we both work in the same place, but once I quit this job, I'm probably not going to text you.
Yeah.
That's when they get dangerous. But I think if you both have an awareness of, we're friends, but it's because...
Because we're on a podcast together.
Yeah, we're friends because we started a podcast and that's the only reason we're friends. If you both have an awareness of that, it's fine. But if there's one of you thinking...
I'm in this for life.
There's one of you having dreams that your hearts are touching and I'm not beating to you each other. And the other one's thinking...
What a fucking nutter.
Nah, like, let's wait for this podcast thing blows over.
Yeah. Blows over, fizzles out. Well, I also think, even if you're both thinking, yeah, this is my best friend for life, maybe your communication styles right now aren't compatible. Because I think no matter what, I mean, maybe we're lucky in that, like, you can say something and I'll understand what you're saying. Sometimes I feel like I could say something in a million different ways and the person it still hasn't got through. I mean, if you're listening to this, maybe you're in the group of people that get, we're in the same boat together, Seffi, Wing and you together. But there are probably, and not even, it's not probable, it's definite, the amount of people that come onto this podcast because their friends recommended it. They listen to the first 30 seconds, they're like, what the fuck? Turn it off, because it's not compatible. And I guess that's the beauty of life. You're not supposed to be compatible with everyone. But yeah, we're still so desperate to be liked.
I think that's so fucking true. Because do you ever meet people in your life where you try and have a conversation and you're just on off rhythms? Like, one of you will be like, hey, go on. No, go on. What were you going to say? No, it's nothing. Oh, it's literally like that for hours. It's like,
it's unbearable.
Oh, I can't fucking communicate with you. And you're a nice person, but we're not. We're on different rhythms
in life. On different rhythms, 100%. I mean, even in my close relationships, Seffi, I know we've had days where it's like, oh, our wires are getting crossed. I have it with my boyfriend sometimes where it's like, our wires are getting crossed today, and that's fine. But sometimes, yeah, it's literally just like, it's like the opposite. Is it opposite ends of a magnet, or is it the same end of a magnet?
The same.
They're
end
just
of
completely
a magnet.
Pushing apart. It's like you just reject.
You're
one
repelling.
Another. Yeah, you're completely repelling. They're a repellent to you, or maybe this podcast is a repellent to them.
To you. Yeah, literally. And it should be, there should be some people where you're just like, nope, not for me, not for me.
100%.
Because then when you find the people that you do click, it's like, fuck, okay, wow, like that's amazing. And hopefully this is what the podcast is for you, where it's like, oh my God, like we do think the same. And I do get it when they say fucking
nobody's coming Harry.
You think, oh wow, that clicks.
But I hope you have people like that in your real life. Not that I'm not in your real life right now. It's very much real. It's just weird, isn't it? I think especially in your early 20s, I think when everyone's changing and growing and they have no idea who they are. It's kind of hard to hold a relationship down when neither of you... How do you know what you're signing up for when you don't even know what you're offering?
And you're desperate for an identity. You're literally trying to cling to any old bit of garbage you can find. Garbage.
A scrap.
Have I been watching The Simpsons or something? Mm-hmm. Garbage. The only American show I could think of. The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. No. Awful. No wonder people don't want to listen.
Just what the fuck? Your communication style might not fit The Simpsons. Like, no, you better fucking hope it doesn't match ours, because this is nuts. God. You might be... What was I even saying?
Something about garbage.
Next point. I don't know what that was, where that was going. You know, that's it. You're so desperate to find some kind of identity that, first of all, you'll try and find it in a boyfriend. You'll try and find it in your job. You'll try and find it in any kind of hobby you have. It's like, oh my God, I've just taken up Zumba dancing. I'm now a Zumba girl. And then no wonder your friend is like, right, I can't really relate to you, because you're just dying for a thing. And whilst you're doing your Zumba thing, they're also desperate for an identity. So they've just come out as gay, and they're like, right, I'm gay. This is the only thing I'm going to throw myself in. Or they've just become vegetarian. Vegan. And they're like, right, okay, it's my whole new thing.
It's kind of not a thing anymore, is it?
Which one? Being gay? Zumba.
That said no one ever. No, being like, well, being vegan is a thing, but kind of I'm happy to see the like diehard militant vegan thing dying out and it just becoming more and more flexible.
With every day that the Greg sausage rolls are still going out, militant vegans are just dying out because it's coming more mainstream, which is stunning.
Yeah, they haven't got enough protein, they're just dying out.
One by one they're dropping off. But I think that's the thing, you're both desperate to find yourself in external things, that no wonder you sometimes don't align with people, because it's like, if you actually met on like a soul level, some kind of human level, maybe let's make it less spiritual, you meet on some human level and you can see you're both humans that are trying and struggling in this world, you can communicate. But it's because someone has identified as point A and someone's identified as point B, and then you're both kind of clinging to those. One of you's like, I'm a dentist, and the other one's like, but I'm a fucking singer. And it's like, well, then you can't communicate. Then it's like
100%.
You're coming from such separate angles.
Well, I also think with social media and just where we are with society at the moment, everything works in, it's very binary. It's, as you said earlier, if you voted Tory at one point in your life, you're not my mate. Like, we don't really have the time of day for nuance or like the complexity of like what it is to be human. And I think it means we write people off very quickly because we are judging them by this identity that we're all obsessed with, identity, social media, and presenting a certain image of ourselves that becomes very flat. Yeah, it's a very flat, one-dimensional caricature of that person. The reality of it is so much more complex and nuanced and so much more interesting, honestly. But we don't ever really afford each other the conversations because we're too busy trying to protect our own identity, too busy being defensive of like our own flaws, and too I think too like consumed or preoccupied with how we're coming across and what doesn't fit in with our brand and reputation.
That's the thing, because it's like, how much do you actually care that they voted Tory, or how much does it not align with your identity as a liberal person to not be friends with people that vote Tory?
Well, you heard a load of jokes being made about Tories and then you just took it on as your own personality. It's like, but you don't, have you ever read a manifesto? Probably not.
Do you know where to find a manifesto? Like, literally, do you know like, anything?
You don't, you're not really, yeah, no one, yeah. Do you know anything about the Chamber of Secrets?
No. Can you? Oh, yes.
Can you tell me?
No.
Damn, but I can show you.
And then he goes,
come on, bitch, I'll show you. Shivers.
So there was a message that I really liked that we actually read this in the original FOMO episode that you will never hear.
Liked it so nice, you'll say it twice.
Exactly, moto moto.
But only once for the listener because it was so shit they never heard it the first time.
I like this because it's got a certain sting to it and I can feel it. And I think people, when they hear this, they'll be able to feel it too. We've all been in similar situations.
Oh, masochist.
So they said, I was in a trio with two girls. They kind of ditched me and I'd run into them on my daily walk and they'd be together.
I mean, yeah, that does sting. Thanks for that.
I think it has a certain ouch to it, yeah, which I like.
Go on, what do you like about it? That we're all out here living the same life, everyone keeps saying.
We're all out here living the same life. And that to me is the crux of FOMO. Whether that's happening or not, that's what we fear.
What we fear is what happened to this girl. No, like her.
No, no, no. Well, we've all been there. Yeah. We've all been there. But then I also think what we think that's happening more than it is. We think there's a secret room, a meeting of all the kind of people that we want to be friends with, and they're all mates and you're not included, and one day you're going to walk past them and it's going to be like, oh god, it was all confirmed, I really am the outsider of this life. But actually, more often than not, that isn't happening. And when it does happen, you see the two girls that you wanted to be friends with on a walk, it fucking stings, but you're still alive, you're still breathing. It hurts, but it also is like, there is more to it. Once you move past the initial rejection of it, which is horrible, it was just that. You just walked past two girls that were friends.
100%. It is making it through the initial sting of what we perceive as rejection, which is most of the time just life, just a life experience that we somehow feel rejected from. Once you move past the sting, you can kind of remember that as much as they may have rejected you, you're not really desperate to be in with somebody who doesn't really like you anyway. It's like, I would rather someone reject me outright than I kind of get strung along on something that neither of us really care for. We're not clicking, and it's that awful kind of torturous thing of you're carrying something
fake
on. Yeah, and it's just so absolutely dire. It's, you know what it is, it's devil snare. It's deadly fun, but it soaks in the sun. It's like, oh, now I can relax. Like, it's just, it's unbearable. It's like, I just lay back and this thing just kind of suffocates me.
And it can kill you faster. Kill us faster.
Now I can relax.
Honestly, let it kill you faster and then you can relax.
Yeah.
Let the world reject you. Just allow yourself to sink into, if we don't click, we don't click. Let the devil snare eat your life. You'll get to the bottom. You'll aloha mora some keys and you'll see a weird man with a, he'll take his turban off and he'll be wearing he'll have a scary head on his face.
Oh god.
A head on the back of his head, if that makes sense. It does make sense because you know the film.
If you don't know the film by now, you're very confused.
Devil snare.
They keep saying all of these references, a weird British accent. What is this thing they keep referencing?
Aloha Mora.
It's a very niche underground series. You've probably never heard of it.
So strange. But as the reviews say, it's the best Harry Potter podcast out there.
Of all time. After all this time, always. God. I actually made myself angry.
Sick. Yeah.
Just by going on, shut up. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it does stink, doesn't it? Rejection. Can we talk about that?
Always. After all this time, always.
After all this time, always. Fucking hell. But even in the sense of, it's kind of, I was going to say scrap, that it's
crap.
Kind of.
Oh, this is crap. It's utter crap. Crap is funny. I remember I used to find the word crap so funny because my cousin, you know the film, what's it called? Oh, what's that film where, I'll describe it to you how my cousin described it to me and I'll see if you can tell what film it is because I've forgotten the name.
Yeah.
I've just remembered it. But he said, so one person craps in another guy's mouth.
Craps.
Then he eats that crap and then the other guy craps in the other person's mouth and then they crap it out.
I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Because that's what I thought the film was. It's The Human Centipede, if you remember that film.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. It could only be that.
It can only be that. But I remember thinking, I was about 12, they crap in each other's mouths.
I mean, literally, yeah.
They literally do. One of the most horrific films I've ever seen. But that's how that was described.
What? How?
You said scrap, and then it became crap. And now I'm talking about Human Centipede.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was, so glad we finally got that off our chest.
Jesus, if anyone had any doubt that I was autistic, that just confirmed.
No, to be honest, it doesn't.
No, not even close.
But anyway.
That might not go in.
No, own it. Your own life, your own experience. Who can question you on your own experience?
Me.
Tell me.
Me.
Give me the fucking name. Who can question you on your own experience apart from you? What we touched on in the other episode, I think, maybe, that didn't get the cut, but I think is a good point and it leads back to this, is we'll find rejection even when there isn't any. And that's not undermining this person from that message, not undermining that instance in particular, because that as we said, stings and sounds awful. And, you know, we've all been there and very sorry that that happened, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of, we set up a script. You scripted a whole piece of how the night is supposed to go. And everyone's supposed to, the party needs to go this way because I fancy that person and they're going to be there.
You're writing short stories.
I've learnt my lines. Have they learnt their lines? You've written a whole short story about how it's supposed to go.
You're a Wattpad author.
You're a Times best-selling author in your own mind. Yeah,
you're writing a pilot, you're pitching it to companies, you're like, do you like the sound of it? They're all saying no.
And listen, yeah, it's not gonna go well. I'm sorry to say, it's not been picked up.
Honestly, I'm out.
This time we have not followed the script.
It's not quite what we're looking for.
You had a whole idea of how it was supposed to go, and even if your night pans out well, mm-hmm. it still won't be good enough, because you'll be thinking, oh, but they looked better than me, so he probably likes her instead of me, or I said that weird thing, so I probably just ruined all of it, or like, oh, I've ruined it by doing that, blah, blah, blah. We've got this whole idea because someone else said, let me read it word for word, let me do it justice, Victoria Justice. They said,
if she's listening, she's like, what the fuck?
Hey Vic. They said, the anticipation of FOMO is so much worse than the actual missing out, in my opinion. But it's that classic idea of, you've got this parallel universe where everything is going according to plan, and the universe itself is going to laugh in your fucking face, yeah. throw your plan back in your face.
Your face is covered in plan.
Your face is covered in flan.
You've got a bit of flan on your face.
Did you know? Just there.
Flan. Well, you will never, ever, ever be able to predict what happens in your life. We keep telling you this. I keep telling myself this and I don't listen. When you find yourself kind of in the shower, shampooing your hair, thinking, all right, well, I'm going to say to that person, why did you ever say that? You're planning out, you're writing, honestly, fiction. You're not getting paid for this. What are you doing? Drop it. Literally scrap it. It's embarrassing. That's to me. Stop writing short stories in the shower.
Yeah.
Enjoy your shower.
Well, because you're only setting yourself up for disappointment.
You're making up fictional universes. You kind of think you're manifesting. No, you're not. You think you're rehearsing something that's going to happen.
You know what you're doing. You're breaking your rule of don't fantasize about people you know.
And also don't solve your problems in the shower at night.
Even worse. Something my friend and I were discussing recently, well, she actually made the point, and I thought that's a great point, and I didn't think at the time that I was going to use it on the pod, but now I am. I don't know why, I think I said this to you on the phone, actually. God, I've really been
spreading this around, honestly, little gospel.
Yeah, I'm spreading the word, spreading the gospel. We were talking about friendships, quite meta, me and my friend talking about friendships, as we do, kind of me and you on the podcast every week talking about the fact we have a podcast, very meta.
Yeah, love it.
I don't know why I'd never really thought about this before, but she basically was saying that we hold like romantic relationships to a really high standard, but with friends you can really like just the majority of people just kind of shit friends
completely,
and it's really, I think it's actually like abnormal or rare to be a good friend or to have a good friendship. It's more common than not just like a not very good friendship.
So interesting. Yeah, I see that.
I just thought it was really interesting, just in the sense that how it came up was, we were talking about, she was kind of saying it's very common for like your friend to not support you, or it's very common for your friend to not be honest with you. It's very common for your friend to like actually not really want to see you happy, or like,
yeah,
it's kind of common for your friend to not really like you, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, that's bleak.
But yet we do everything to keep these friendships.
It's so true. It
just is kind of a scary thing.
Maybe partially it's because with romantic relationships, there's this idea that, especially with like monogamous, romantic, traditional marriage, essentially, is that you are searching for one person who must have your entire loyalty, and there must be like no doubt in that, and you are working together to build this thing. But with friendships, it's like, oh, you can just spread yourself really thin. And society loves the idea of everyone having lots of friends, which suggests you don't have enough time to work on something with all of them.
Yeah.
So you're searching for this one big person that your other half, quote unquote, don't make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
You are whole on your own.
You were just saying I was your other half. Ah, imagine.
We're too whole. knows? Imagine.
I expose you like that. Yeah, go.
You're looking for this other person, but with friends, it's like there's an idea that you can, they're interchangeable almost.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, when that person's busy, I'll just meet that person. It's like, no, I wanted to meet that specific person.
Right.
I wanted to talk to this specific person about this specific thing because they bring me that. Not, oh yeah, I just have loads of friends, and if that person's busy, I'll just go meet that one.
I'll meet a friend.
I want to go meet a friend. Who? Which one?
Who? Why? Yeah, that's true. I also think it's kind of, is it a bit embarrassing to be committed to a friend?
That's so true.
With dating, you're not supposed to let them know that you actually like them, those sorts of things. It's kind of, I think we're all a bit too cool and you want to seem very nonchalant, but it's like, I think in friendships that's really damaging because you're obviously very invested in one another, but the whole performance of like not really caring, it suddenly feels quite serious to say, oh, I was a bit upset when you said blah, blah, or I was triggered earlier, triggerable me, because when you said blah, 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 that suddenly seems, in a romantic relationship, you're fully in a relationship with someone, that's kind of, it's part and parcel with communicating in a relationship. But in those friendships that aren't maybe like best, like you're not Sophie and Wing, then
you're not prepared to die for each other in a weird way.
It's a bit kind of, oh, like that's kind of out of nowhere, you've taken it quite serious, oh, that's a bit weird, you're confrontational. It's like, what is that? It's kind of,
or like, this is the weirdest thing.
It's not very normal to be committed and like show up for your friends, I guess. I don't know.
I agree completely. I also think there's an idea that there's a romanticized idea in society that especially with girls, you should have one best friend and then acquaintances. That with a girl, you're never enough on your own. You should always be part of a duo in some way, whether that's with another girl, kind of your sister would be an appropriate one, and then also with a man. I don't think there's ever an idea that like the party kind of gal that has loads of acquaintances and like
you're not whole.
You're that wouldn't be acceptable, just to be like having loads of friends that none of them are that deep.
Did you say recently that you work in threes?
That was in the FOMO episode that got cut.
I'm giving you guys the inside scoop.
Inside scoop. Throughout my life, I've always featured in dynamics of threes.
In threes. So it's Seffy, Wing and the listener.
It's Seffy, Wing and Jim Carrey, as we've been
saying. And Jim Carrey.
That is the three. That's my chosen three of the moment.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I've always been in threes. Always. I don't really know why. I think I just like that dynamic. But they're difficult to get right. And that's why I liked that message about the girl that was walking and saw her other two friends on a walk and was like, it stings. Because I think there's an idea when you're operating within threes that you can easily slip into.
Three's a crowd.
It's a classic saying. My grandma once said that to me. Her and my sister were walking. And I said, can I come? And she said, three's a crowd. And I was gutted.
Well, she actually didn't let you come fucking out. Jeez.
It was a joke, grandma. But it was also, did sting.
Stings. Hurts to this day.
That stung, grandma. Grandma.
I hope she's listening.
That was mean of you. I'll phone you in a minute and tell you that was mean of you to say that to me when I was like 10. Still remember it. But she's right. Three is a crowd. But I think that's why I am the sort of son of a preacher man of communication.
Fucking hell.
I am just preaching this communication life.
Yeah.
You've just got to talk about it, because I think it's natural in a three, for example, to fluctuate between sometimes you're close with this person, sometimes they will be closer, and sometimes you'll be close with the other one. It is always going to be shifting. That is just a fluid, you found yourself in the middle of a fluid dynamic, and kind of you'll trick yourself into thinking if the other two are best friends, then you are alone, you are the least liked one. But no,
you've been rejected.
You see other people's closeness as a rejection, which is
dangerous.
Not the case.
No.
It's just literally not the case. So I think if you're in a three, you got to talk, guys.
Yeah.
It's the only way. But also, you're not in a three. I also think that's so silly. It's like, I'm in a three.
True.
I'm in a relationship. I'm in a best friendship. It's like, you're actually just on your own like everyone else, and you're trying to fit in with humans.
Well, have a bit of fluidity as well, that the three could turn into a two, could turn into a four.
Well, that was the thing with when before we met each other. Throughout uni, I was always in a very, very close three dynamic. And I guess you were in a two dynamic.
Mm.
And they joined forces and we became a five dynamic. Like, things do just move.
Mm.
Friendship is fluid, and that's kind of part of it, because you're all just individuals.
Yeah, but it's when you've got that hook on, as we were saying earlier, like one of you basically being at peace with whatever happens. And I guess feeling confident in your own...
It's a self-esteem issue almost.
Yeah, being confident in yourself, but also being confident in your own behaviours as a friend.
Yeah.
I can be an awful friend, but also, like, I can also be a great friend.
I mean, we said at the beginning, if anyone else is talking to us about that kind of feminism, I'm thinking, shut up, a lot of the time. It's like, that's not a good friend.
Yeah.
That's not a good friend, trust me.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think is your most valued trait in a friend?
Realness, authenticity. Mm. You can pretty much be a shitty human if you are real about it.
Is that me?
No. Yeah, it's you.
So take this example here with Wing, for example. Shitty human, real about it.
Shitty human, but she's real about it. I think you can be like, look, I'm about to do a shitty thing. Or like, I really, really want to do this shitty thing. Like, can I talk about it and talk about why I want to do that? And it's because of this. And I'm kind of thinking about this and this and this. I would much rather that than someone that acts perfectly all the time and does no shitty things and is a big faker. I'm not interested.
Well, I agree. If I've got a relationship with someone, I need it to be all in.
Always, yeah. Is that your main thing in friendship, do you think?
I think I agree with you. I think it is just authenticity, because I don't need to have to relate on you on all level. Like, I don't need to have to agree with you all the time. You don't need to be a certain type of person. I think my favorite thing in life is love. The weirdest thing in life is love, but it's kind of, if my favorite thing, and it really is my favorite thing, of feeling like someone's trusted me to like share a real piece of themselves with me. Like, that's my favorite thing is someone is having that moment with someone where they're allowing you to see them.
You meet them.
I think that real connection. Yeah, you're seeing each other. We see each other.
It's you meet them in that beating heart moment where you're hugging and your hearts are beating like my dream. But there's no kind of weird. So I'm coming to you as I've just come out from work and I had a great day and I'm all hyped up on my ego and I'm going to talk to you through those eyes.
No ego. I think that's it.
And you're lying. You're a marketing assistant and you've just come out and you're feeling great. You're a marketing girl. And you come out and you're meeting your friend for drinks and you're all talking. You're talking and you're actually still in the
and you're performing
the act. Yeah, it's not real. It's like, no, let's strip.
I don't want to have friendship performed to me.
No,
I'm not trying to have you perform as my friend. I just want a real,
I want the mess of it.
I just want like a decent convo. Yeah,
I love the mess. I love people fucking up and I love talking it through and I love
the vulnerability.
Yeah, I love the humanness of it all.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Because that's what I love in like romantic relationships as well. I love the moments of, like in dating, the moments of, you don't like that you just said that. Like, I can see that you just slipped up and you look nervous now.
Yeah, yeah. The vulnerability. Well, it's kind of, you love it when their wife dies.
No, I don't.
Because there's an emotional depth there. But it is kind of that. It's a heavy thing. Being a human is heavy. To be able to share the weight is the biggest, most amazing thing in life.
It's the only option.
Yeah.
It is actually the only option. When you break it down, it's like, okay, so if I take all my relationships here and all of the people I know in life, it's like, which ones have I stuck with and which ones have, as the pandemic has arisen around me, if I just like laid to the waste around me? It's kind of, the people that have stuck are the ones that I have that connection with, are the ones that I can be like, how are you feeling? And they won't be like, so I've actually had a really fucking amazing week. They can be like, oh, I've actually had a really good week. Like, this has happened and this has happened.
Yeah.
It's not fake. I think my biggest enemy in this life is ego and performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's my big enemy within myself and within other people.
Yeah. I'm back to this, like, is it realistic?
No, you're never going to escape that. There's no way. We live in a capitalist world that loves that.
But you can have real friendships, obviously, goes without saying. You can have real friendships, but I think, is it just something we have to accept of a lot of the time your relationships won't be, I don't know.
I think you do need to accept that, because there'll be moments where it's like, not everyone is willing to be vulnerable. Not everyone can be vulnerable at every minute of the day, or you're just going to be in a wreck. But I almost think it's about capturing those moments. Like, I almost feel like, are we having one right now? Where it's like a moment where, yeah, we're performing in some ways, but it's like, look, you can capture it where it's like, look, I'm actually speaking pretty close to my like heart beliefs here,
without any
care,
without a care in the world,
without any like ego performance in this. Of course there will be, but I think of course you slip back into it so easily. It is unrealistic to expect that all the time within all your relationships, because some people aren't ready, some people can't do it, and to be honest, nobody can do it the whole time. But when you get those moments, for example, those are why those moments where someone's just being broken up with, or someone is going through a trauma, someone is in a vulnerable moment, that's why those feel so connecting. And that's why trauma bonds exist in those moments, is because you are seeing the raw human, you're seeing kind of the inner child, which is what is the like essence of a human.
Yeah. God, it's quite emotional actually.
I know. I don't even know if that made sense.
No, that makes sense. Did it make sense? Yeah, because it's those massive moments, and it's those moments that are meaningful.
But they're not nice.
Well,
like they're not nice. You don't want people to have those moments. No, but it's almost like you feel closer to someone after you've seen them cry.
Yeah, but it doesn't even have to be sad. Like the vulnerability doesn't have to be sad. You can be vulnerable in
exactly.
In laughter.
That's also the thing you were saying a few episodes ago of why does realness get equated with ugliness?
Exactly, yeah.
Why is it if you've cried and you've had your boyfriend's broken up with you, oh, I can really see you're so real and no ego there. No, there's a shit ton of ego in it. There's a shit ton of performance in that.
So fucking true. It's like you can kind of, you can show your skin without foundation on, show all your acne scarring, but that doesn't mean it's authentic.
Yeah.
There's still a million things that could be wrapped up in that moment or in that behaviour or in that representation of you in that moment that is laced with performance.
Yeah.
Cool.
So put your foundation on.
So put that foundation back. Don't even worry about it. Put it back on.
I like the idea of accepting performance though.
Mm.
I like the idea of we can never get to the core essence of every person. So yeah, it's easier to perform, and we've been trained to perform our entire lives in so many ways. Gender, the idea of performing as a woman, the idea of performing as a man. We are literally entrenched in performing different identities. That is bleak, but I don't hate the idea of the protective shell of performance. Like it's easier to walk around with your shitty little ego at times when you're like operating with anxiety or you're operating with depression. It's like, yeah, okay, well maybe I'll just step into, at least I have a good job and I'll go into that mode or something.
I
think it's sad that we have to do that, but
even in the way that we were talking about accepting sometimes you're going to be not in the best mood, I think maybe sometimes we do just accept that some things are wrapped up in performance, and you know, so be it. Is that the worst thing in the world? Probably not. Too much navel gazing.
Exactly. But also I would love to strip pretty much every interaction I have down to like what are you really saying though. It's kind of the thing of someone cries about crumbs on the worktop. There are too many crumbs on the worktop. You haven't tidied up, but they're actually angry about the fact they're going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, let's strip it back. You're lying to yourself and me.
Just a quick question, I guess, to end on. How do you think that your best relationships have come to you? Is it by accident?
Always.
After all this time?
After all this time, always. But always.
Yeah.
Every single, I genuinely think pretty much all of the good things in my life have been nothing to do with me.
The minute you get those scrappy hands on it.
Yeah, and this is why I get a bit spiritual with things. Like all of the things that I have like worked at it from a place of ego and like wanting to improve my life have all fallen down, and they're not those things. But what is actually stuck are the real things that come from more of like an essence, a place that's like, I made that decision based on nothing other than a feeling, and now I have this from it. Or like I sat next to someone one day, ended up falling in love with them. Kind of that kind of vibe.
I agree, and I think it's if you come to any situation with desperado vibes, if you're coming to your life, you're meeting your life with desperation, sitting in an old Monte Carlo, it's not gonna be good, is it?
No.
It's not looking good for you.
Life's gonna serve you what you need then, which is literally not what you think you need.
Yeah.
Do you remember my weird poem that I wrote?
How could I forget it? Go on.
I don't think I remember it.
You do.
Well, let me say that it's not actually a poem that I wrote with any kind of consciousness. I wrote this, didn't write it, I said it to myself while I was driving, which is so weird, and I memorized it.
It was kind of a big chant. It was actually a bit of a chant. Yeah,
it was kind of a mantra. It was, what was it? If you
do you want it because you really want it. That was how it started, I swear.
Yeah, it did start like that.
Do you want it because you really want it?
Well, basically the essence of the poem, the weird little
the
chant
crux
was
of it is, yeah, the punchline.
Do you want it because you really want it, or do you want want it because you really need it. If you need it, you might as well forget it. If you want it, then go on out and get it.
Get it. Was that it? Go and get something it. Like yeah, that. Yeah.
And the idea of that, I guess, when that I said to myself in the car,
break that down
was
for us.
That if you come to things with the idea that I need to get this job, I need to fucking get this job. If I need this job, you might as well forget it. But if you're like, I want this because I think it will really improve my life. I don't need this. Like, my life is good anyway. But I just think I want this as an add-on.
Yeah.
Then the universe, I guess, I was thinking, will give it
makes
to
it
you.
Makes it happen.
It's a real, I guess, law of attraction vibe, which isn't really the vibe I want to give off publicly. But yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah.
With desperation, you will not get it.
So true.
And you should not get it.
Yeah, no, it's not right for you. Well, it won't serve you. You'll only be proven you'll be proven wrong.
Yeah.
The universe will show you that that wasn't serving you. You won't feel good about it. It won't fix your problems. You'll be in the same place, if not worse, because you got everything you wanted, quote unquote. And what happened? Nothing.
Nothing. You're still miserable.
Singing it on Monte Carlo.
Yeah. Do you think that whatever the question you asked me, I'm throwing it back, but I can't remember the question. You might remember the question. What was it? I'm saying it back.
No, I completely agree. I completely think if you go out with desperation, you will have desperate thrown back at you. It'll be thrown back in your fucking face faster than you could say quit it. So I think that's just I think we're all about acceptance these days. Or at least that's what we'll say. We really don't accept anything in our real lives.
We've got some key themes going on. It's kind of, if you were going to GCSE, analyze us, write down the themes of this podcast. It's like authenticity keyword.
The girls seem to be going on and on about authenticity. That must be a big theme for them. Underline. Authenticity question mark.
Paragraph one, I think I'm going to discuss the theme of authenticity within the Goes Without Saying podcast.
Yeah.
Theme two, I might go with trust the timing of your life. They have this whole thing about the universe giving you what you need.
So true though. The third theme is they're fucking cringe as fuck. Like, I cannot stand these girls.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed another episode of Goes Without Saying.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Sethian wig.
Goes without saying. Thank you so much to our guest Harry Styles for featuring on this episode. It was so nice to have you.
So great.
And we'll see you next week for another. God knows what we'll get into then. I can't wait.
And we'll see you on the Discord.
I'll see you there.
See you there.